Our scripture lesson for our communion, our devotional thoughts before communion this morning is Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 32. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." And he answered, "No, I will not." But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, "I go, sir." But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you noticed that it seems that many of the most blatant, high-profile criminals today are acting as their own defense attorneys? Have you noticed that lately? I read of two men, I'm not making this up, some things you just can't make up. I read of two men who imprisoned and raped a girl for 3 years. Their guilt is not in question, or their actions are not in question. They're going to act as their own defense attorneys. And to top it off, guess what their defense is going to be? They're going to use the Bible. Their defense is they're to obey God's laws, but they don't have to obey human laws. Now, I'm no attorney, but I think, number one, that would be a poor defense strategy. Number two, even if you're using the Bible, it's not going to hold up morally. You know, why would folks who need an attorney the most insist on acting as their own attorney? Well, an article I read stated the obvious. Persons who act as their own attorneys, particularly in cases like I just mentioned, have an inflated sense of their superior intelligence and their morality, regardless of how twisted it may be. So thus, besides the consequences of the crime they committed, they dig for themselves a deeper grave through depending on themselves. Following the entry to Jerusalem on what is now commemorated as Palm Sunday, the religious leaders are confronting Jesus because they're so upset that so many people are following Jesus and in their thoughts causing a commotion. They had previously been upset because Jesus associated with tax collectors and in some places you read sinners, other places prostitutes. And as Jesus and the religious leaders engage in contentious debate, Jesus asserts, and he's talking to the religious leaders again, remember, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you." Whoa. Why would Jesus assert such a thing? Why Why would Jesus assert that tax collectors, and remember in biblical times, tax collectors were more than employees of the IRS? They were collaborators with Rome, traitors of their own people. Why would Jesus assert that tax collectors and prostitutes, which were basically the lowest of the low in society, will get ahead of the king in the kingdom of God, will get ahead of the religious leaders? After all, the religious leaders were viewed by society and themselves as the keepers and teachers of the law, as well as the example of the epitome of faithfulness. Now, Jesus was not declaring that any sin is okay. Actually, the answer is quite simple. And I imagine you've already figured it out. The religious leaders either thought they had it together, or they saw the law as their means of their wealth and their power. In other words, they were the people in the jail who's going to defend themselves. I don't need a savior. I follow the law. I teach the law. Everybody follows us. And the tax collectors and the prostitutes knew they needed a savior. So as we observe Holy Communion this morning, it's a good time to ask the Lord to reveal our hearts and our attitudes to us. For I'll be the first one to confess, I have some Pharisee in me. You probably don't. But I do. I have some Pharisee in me. Ask the Lord to reveal to you if you have unknowingly, accidentally slipped into the Pharisee role. For instance, is not exhaustive of every question that we might would ask ourselves, but it does represent the direction I'm speaking of. Do we view some persons as less qualified than ourselves to enter into heaven because my sin is not as blatant as my neighbor's sin? I yell at my wife, I've never committed adultery on her. So my sin's not as bad as my neighbor's sin. I really don't anymore, but I just want to use that as an example. Want to be clear there. But you get the point I'm saying? Yeah, I know I got some faults. But have you looked at the news lately? Do you know so-and-so in the neighborhood? Yeah, I got some faults, but my sins aren't as blatant as my neighbor's sins. Do we unknowingly at times view ourselves as qualified to get in heaven, while others, they definitely need grace? I'm glad for grace, but I'm a good person. I'm a churchgoer. I'm a preacher. I know my Bible. Maybe not as well as some people, but I know my Bible. I try to live it. But you know, so-and-so that I work with in that charitable organization, she really needs grace if she thinks she's getting in. None of y'all have probably ever been there, but some of us have. Is it not easy to fall into the trap of thinking that if everyone thought and acted like me, the world would get back on track? I mean, if Trump or previously Obama or previously Bush or previously Clinton, if they had just called me, I could have told them what they needed to do and we could have straightened everything out. Y'all never thought like that, but I have. Is it not easy to fall into that trap? If everybody was the kind of employee I am, the company would be okay. If everybody was the church member that I am, the church would run just fine. If everybody was the neighbor that I am, the neighborhood association would never have any arguments. Probably, if we're honest with ourselves, most of us have some Pharisee in us. But the good news that we know that the Pharisees of biblical times could never recognize is we can repent of our Pharisee tendencies. We don't have to stay stuck in them. And thank God for God's grace for which we all depend. So I need an attorney. I need a holy attorney to stand before the judge to defend me. Because I don't have a leg to stand on. And thank goodness he's already defended me. He defended me from the cross. So as we observe the sacrament of Holy Communion, we are reminded of God's love through Christ for all of us sinners, saved by God's amazing grace. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, in this room, we realize we are all sinners standing in the need of your grace. But somehow when we get to living everyday life outside of this room, at least for myself, it's easy for the Pharisee to sneak back in the ways that were mentioned in many others. But Lord, I thank you that you give us the opportunity to repent. That we don't have to stay in those places. And so, Lord, you know each individual. It's not another person's concern where the Pharisee is in another person. But reveal to each of us individually where we have become the Pharisee. And remind us that in reality, we're all tax collectors and sinners. And in need of a divine attorney. And thank you that that defense has already been proclaimed from the cross. So Lord, help us to repent of those places that need repenting of. And may we embrace the cross, knowing that the cross is our defense and our entrance into heaven is assured because of your amazing grace. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. As we do observe Holy